This, the title of this talk is called Deserve or Deserve. Deserve is a word that has bothered me for decades. Every time I hear it, I inwardly question its use. And since my objections are philosophical and even religious, I thought I would put forth my ideas to you and see what you thought. The word originally meant to serve zealously, de being an intensifier of the verb to serve. In this way, to call a person deserving described a virtue that was its own reward. A deserving person humbly worked for good, not for themselves, but evidently for God, or perhaps for the community. Nothing was coming to them as a result of this. Just the recognition inherent in this word that said, this person works devotedly to be of service. When I think of this archaic definition of deserving, I think of someone like Dr. Martin Luther King or of Gandhi. When I think of these men, I don't think about what their personal rewards should have been. I'll go even further and say that I must admit I hardly think of them as men at all. I think only of their accomplishments and their messages. I may be wrong to overlook their personhood, but my point is that their service to humanity was so great that it transcended the individuals they were. To me, it's as if, like great artists, or like lightning rods, they were acting as intermediaries between the world and something higher, channeling this great force. It's no wonder I lose sight of their humanity. When I see lightning, I'm not thinking about the lightning rod. So that's the archaic definition of deserve. Nothing about reward or punishment, just service that transcends the self. Now, for the modern version. You deserve a break today at McDonald's. Want a new car but can't get a loan? Let the credit angel give you the fresh start you deserve. Get out of the bike rack and into valet parking. And here's a spa I found online called Because You Deserve It, and it's Because You Deserve It, that offers hair care, skin care, manicuring, lash extensions, and waxing. Because I deserve it? Lord, what did I do to deserve waxing? This kind of deserving comes up a lot, not just in advertisements, but in everyday life. You have worked hard, you've devoted yourself to a goal, and you would like a treat. Perhaps you are absolutely exhausted and are desperate for a treat. Whatever the treat is, it's easy to say, I deserve this. I'm certainly not going to say that you don't deserve it. But what do you serve when you think this way? To begin to answer this question, I'd like to summarize a story shared by Lene McCoy on her website, beingfrugal.net. Lene and her husband had paid off all their credit cards and had gotten rid of a lot of their debt. Then their old computer kicked the bucket. As they were shopping for a new one, they, to quote Lene, made the mistake of thinking back over their year, how rough it had been, with a death in the family and health challenges for both of them. Thinking of these things, they thought they deserved to splurge a little and buy a nice computer, one that was a little more expensive than the cash they had on hand. So they charged a nice computer on their then zero balance credit card. They were expecting a small inheritance the following month, so they could pay it off right away without even any interest. But then Lene's husband lost his job, and instead of using it to pay off the credit card, they had to use the inheritance money just to live on. And while they were trying to cut back expenses, now they had a new Visa payment to make every month. To quote Lene, suddenly, I deserve it didn't sound so good. It's one thing to want a treat, but when rewards get in the way of your long-term goals, they become burdens. Lene cautions, the next time you find yourself wanting to buy something because you deserve it, please consider whether you deserve the bondage that comes with debt. Consider whether you deserve to sacrifice your long-term goals. With this wise and practical advice, Lynnae McCoy illustrates that this kind of deserve actually serves only short-term thinking and unmindful action. Acting this way, thinking that you deserve something good, you end up de-serving your own self-interest. Okay, so there are rewards that advertisers want you to feel you deserve. A new car, a new computer, new eyebrows. What does all this have to do with Unitarian Universalism? Well, it's time to go all out on rewards and discuss the biggie, your eternal reward. I'm a natural universalist, by which I mean that long before I ever heard of Unitarian Universalism, I believed that there was no such thing as hell, and that everybody would go to heaven when they died, or at least that all people share the same fate after death, whether that fate is good or merely neutral. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, mostly because while I can imagine a soul feeling bliss, I cannot imagine a soul in pain. To my mind, pain belongs to the living, and that's why I'm a universalist. But if one believes that everyone shares the same fate after death, all kinds of other conclusions start going along for the ride. Suddenly, you start believing in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And that makes you value justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. And perhaps, like me, you start questioning the whole idea of deserving. When I was a kid, I managed to read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance by Robert Percy. I can't say I got much out of it. Most of it sailed right over my head. A couple of things did stick, though. Persig discusses what he calls truth traps and the truth trap of yes-no logic. Here's Persig. Yes and no. This or that. One or zero. On the basis of this elementary two-term discrimination, all human knowledge is built up. The demonstration of this is the computer memory, which stores all its knowledge in the form of binary information. It contains ones and zeros. That's all. Because we're unaccustomed to it, we don't usually see that there's a third possible logical term equal to yes and no, which is capable of expanding our understanding in an unrecognized direction. We don't even have a term for it, so I'll have to use the Japanese mu. Mu means no thing. It points outside the process of dualistic discrimination. Mu simply says no class. Not one, not zero. Not yes, not no. It states that the context of the question is such that a yes or no answer is in error and should not be given. Unask the question is what it says. Unask the question. That is what I want to say when people say, do I deserve this? Don't I deserve this? Here are some examples. I was reading a graphic novel by Alison Bechdel, a memoir called Are You My Mother? Which is a good book. You can get up on that. At one point in the story, Alison has upset her mother and is feeling terrible about it. She's at home, curled up in a ball of guilt. And when her girlfriend goes to comfort her, she says, don't pet me. I don't deserve it. Yikes. She feels so wretched and guilty that she thinks she doesn't deserve comfort. But since when is comfort something that must be deserved? A couple decades ago, I was chatting with my friend Sally about a new romance she was having. She was very happy about it, and happiness was kind of a new thing to her. She said, I deserve to be happy. I objected, and my objection was basically that deserving had nothing to do with it. I told Sally that happiness was her birthright. She was a human being, and so some measure of joy would be hers, just because she was alive. It had nothing to do with whether she deserved happiness or not. Happiness is not something that can be deserved. Neither is comfort. Neither is compassion. Unasked, the question of deserving. Now, while I told Sally that happiness was her birthright, I also believe that sadness was too. I believe that good things and bad things are part of life, and cannot either be deserved or undeserved. I don't believe that there is a moral component to the natural things that happen to us. Nor do I believe that deserving has any part in the consideration of human needs for food, water, comfort, celebration, shelter, peace, etc. And I believe that to think in terms of deserving can just end up serving, on the practical side, unmindful action, and on the moral side, the idea that some people are more worthy than others. I've been planning this sermon for a long time, and so every time I heard or read the word deserve, I've paid close attention and even taken notes. For example, I saw a photo in the Rutland Herald last year of a young woman holding a sign at Green Mountain College. The sign said, "We are here to save Bill and Lou. This is about saving these animals and that they receive the retirement they deserve." For those of you visitors, Bill and Lou were two working oxen at Green Mountain College, and they were going to slaughter them and eat them at the college. And there was a big outcry. So this is about saving these animals and that they receive the retirement they deserve. At the time, I was thinking, so Bill and Lou, the oxen, deserve retirement, but other cattle don't? It seemed to me that to use the word deserve in this context only served the idea that some beings have more inherent worth than others. Why should these cattle live while so many others die horribly every day? What makes them more worthy? And this objection of mine, the idea that deserving goes against the first UU principle of the inherent worth and dignity of every person, was all that I thought at the time. But then I realized that actually, this woman wasn't pointing out a quality that existed in those two animals. Rather, she was talking about how she felt about them. That she felt affection and compassion for them, and couldn't stand to think of them being slaughtered. It wasn't that they had special worth compared to other cattle. It was that they had special worth to her. Of course, many other people felt that Bill and Lou were so special and loved that it made them happy to think of eating them in the cafeteria, which is just further indication that deserving is not an inherent quality in the ones being discussed, but rather in the ones doing the discussing. Which brings me to a major use of the word deserve in our language, and that is when it's used around punishment. Anytime you read an internet article about some crime, in the comments section there is always a chorus from people demanding vengeance. This person deserves to die. Lock her up and throw away the key. I must say that I've heard about crimes so terrible that I could only think that the perpetrators deserved the same treatment. One such case was that of Carmen Tarleton, the Vermont woman whose husband poured lye all over her face. When I heard of that, I was so upset by that the story stuck with me. I couldn't think of anything else all day and could only imagine dousing that guy with lye to see how he liked it. So I was amazed, even distressed, when I read that the victim herself didn't feel the way I did. She didn't want vengeance. Why not? I'm thinking, since she knew what hell it was, it would never, ever be something she could do to another person. From her point of view, no one deserves such torture, not even a torturer. Perhaps because, in order to serve someone that way, you have to become a torturer yourself. Remember how, if you think you deserve an expensive treat, you should also consider whether you deserve the bondage that comes with debt? A similar question can be asked about vengeance. If a teenager commits a violent crime and he is tried as an adult, he'll get a harsher sentence. And this harsher sentence will result in a man that is hardened to crime and more likely to commit violence after he is set free. When we concentrate only on giving criminals what they deserve, we may end up de-serving the larger society. We could ask ourselves, do we as a society deserve the increase in violence that will result from our vengeance against this criminal? Does the executioner of a murderer deserve to become a killer himself? Carmen Tarleton says no. In a recent quote from a news article, Tarleton referred to the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing and said, there is a lot to learn and take from horrific events that happen. I want others to know that they need not give up on feeling themselves when tragedy strikes, but instead they can make a choice to find the good and allow that to help them heal. Don't give up on feeling. I think that says it all. You know what I really don't like about this word deserve? It points the finger. It says, you deserve this. You don't deserve that. When what is really happening is I feel a certain way about you and your actions. If we take Carmen Tarleton's advice, or what if we take Carmen Tarleton's advice and don't give up on feeling? What if when I'm tempted to point the finger at someone else, I instead look inside and observe my own feelings with compassion? What happens then is the opposite of deserving. I would call it grace. Now, grace is a word I like a whole lot, whether it's talking about the grace of a dancer, the grace of God, or the grace period on a loan payment. I love them all. A little more theology here, which of course I know nothing about, but I got a few tidbits off the internet. In the 1500s, Martin Luther said that we don't go to heaven because of good works. In other words, we don't go because we deserve it. Because eternal life is given by God's grace, and by definition, grace is neither merited nor unmerited. In his view, heaven is a free gift to believers. In the universalist view, heaven is a free gift to everyone. So give thanks where thanks are due, right? The trouble is when you are so focused on the fact that you didn't deserve something, you feel too guilty to feel grateful. Alternatively, you are so used to free gifts that you start feeling entitled to them. Here's a quote from Christine Pohl. Years ago, Paul Tournier observed that no gift can bring joy to the one who has a right to everything. While there is a healthy interpretation of entitlement that is tied to a sense of dignity and equality, when it is exaggerated, it brings continual dissatisfaction and an inability to be thankful for anything. If thinking you deserve everything gives you an overblown sense of entitlement, you might be led to think that thinking you deserve nothing gives you a proper sense of gratitude. But no. Thinking you deserve nothing just muddies your psyche with guilt. Better to dispense of the whole concept of deserving and learn grace instead. Here's an example. In a Star Trek episode from the early 90s, Captain Picard receives a stunning gift from his old archaeology professor, a complete set of figurines from an ancient world, something so rare that it shouldn't even exist. He is utterly floored by this gift, and he doesn't know how he can accept such a wondrous thing. His mentor replies, rather testily, "Graciously! You can accept it graciously!" And so the captain sets aside his guilty ego and says, "Thank you." My point is that when the captain was thinking he didn't deserve the gift, he was incapable of accepting it graciously. His own sense of guilt was counteracting the grace of the gift. It was when he put aside the concept of deserving or not deserving that he completed the circle of grace, the gracious acceptance of a gracious gift. And as for thinking that people deserve punishment, how about setting that aside and instead focus on your own feelings, your pain and your grief, and your need for healing? Restorative justice teaches us that there are other ways, certainly better ways, to achieve justice than just to hand people what we think of as their just deserts. When Carmen Tarleton let go of vengeance, she taught me to let go of mine. Turning away from vengeance is a hard thing for Americans to do, but she did it, and she's American, so it's possible. Possible to step out of the cycle of violence and into the circle of compassion and healing. So I ask you, instead of thinking about deserving, try thinking about service instead. Acknowledge your wants, attend to your needs, think about your goals and your values, and how to serve them best.
Hallelujah.